We're here with Dennis Laxalt to present Annotated, a type hint you can use at runtime. Dennis is a Python developer working for Dalibo on Postgres infrastructure and automation. And he's been a long time free software hacker. Thank you very much for being here with us, Dennis. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Annotated, a type hint you can use at runtime. First, a few words about me. I work at Dalibo. It's a small French company doing PostgreSQL service, and there I do database infrastructure automation and also trying to contribute to Postgres ecosystem, most notably recently the PsychoPG database adapter in Python, and less recently other Python projects like SciPy or Mercurial. So why talking about Annotated? Perhaps you have seen this kind of code in the wild recently or less recently. It's taken from Pydantic documentation. Pydantic is a well-known and famous nowadays data modeling and validation library in Python. And you can see from their documentation, especially recently since the version 2 of the library, that this annotated pattern kind of spread everywhere in the library. Another example is here. A code sample from FastAPI, which is another famous library useful for doing web API in Python. And there is also this annotated pattern here. When I stumbled upon this last year when doing a migration to Pydantic V2, I was kind of disappointed because this syntax looks well in Python. It's verbose. It's not really usual in Python. So I wanted to talk about it and why. First, let's see how it works, because it's not very intuitive to me. Then I wonder, how can I use and define my annotation and in order to use the annotated syntax using my annotation, the one I would define, not just the one that would be provided by the library, and for which use cases. So the outline of the talk is threefold. First, I'll introduce typing.annotated, which is defined in a PEP 593. And then we'll walk through a few use cases involving data-centric models and doing validation, serializations, and user interface, all using annotated. And first, and third, I'll discuss about the adoption in the community and ecosystem of this annotated construct. So let's start with PEP 593. So annotated is defined in the typing module. It's in the standard library, but in my opinion, it's not really in the typing. It's not really a typing similar to others. It's more like an annotation, maybe more in the spirit of the initial idea of function annotation defined in a pre-old PEP now, in which you can attach an annotation to an identifier using the colon symbol. And then it was used for typing. But really here, we have the ability to annotate identifiers. Identifiers are, for example, class attributes, function parameters, or anything in a namespace, like a module or something. It's here, it's not new, it's here since Python 3.9 or in typing instruction if you have a very long Python installation. And the PEP is named Flexible Function and Variable Annotations. What does it tell? It tells that you can annotate a variable named V here with the type int annotated, which takes at least two arguments. The first one is a valid type, could be a built-in type or a custom type you define. And then it takes at least one metadata or annotation. I used the metadata or annotation in an interchangeable manner in the following. And you need to pass only one annotation, but you can pass many of them. The key idea of this is that this metadata can be used for static analysis and also at runtime, which is pretty new in the typing ecosystem. And it opens for a pretty interesting use case, in my opinion. although syntax is a bit weird. I think it's also interesting because it's designed to be composable, meaning, I'm quoting the paper here, but basically it means that when a tool analyzes the code base, be it at static analysis or at runtime, and it encounters an annotation it does not know, it should ignore it. And if it encounters an annotation it owns, typically because it defined it, it should handle it. So it means that if you use MSDT to combine many annotations from different sources, you can expect them to play well together. How to consume annotation? Because once you have defined annotated values, you will need to consume them. In the typing module, still in the standard library, you have a couple of utility functions I will introduce here. The first one is getTypeIns, which can be used for any kind of object like a class, even an instance of a class or functions, and it returns a mapping from attribute names to their typeins. So if we have this point data class with two attributes, the second one being annotated, we can see that the ints value, which is a dictionary, returns x and y, and x is simply the integer class, and y is the annotated construct. You can also use annotations and gender attributes, but getTypeIns is more powerful in general. From there, you need to inspect individual annotations, and you have two functions. You have getOrigin and getAxe, still from the typing module. If you use getOrigin on the typeins, it allows to discriminate between all the typing constructs that are in the typing module, and especially identify, in our case, which one are annotated types. So you can compare this result with the is operator, for instance. Then you can extract the arguments of the annotated value, which means here in our example, in our Y example, getting the type and the annotations as a list here. So that's how you consume annotation. And in general, thanks to the composability principle I exposed before, once you have extracted all the annotation, you would ignore the one that you are not interested in. Here we only handle the label annotation which we own, and we ignore the others. So we typically check this with an isInstance check. To wrap this up, I'll introduce this simple helper. It's not foolproof, but it works for our examples. Basically, it uses getTypeIns, getOrigin, and getArgs in order to walk through the annotation of an object and find the one which matching the specified type here. So to illustrate it, if we use getAnnotation on the point class introduced before and trying to match the label annotation, we get this result. So the Y attribute, the Y name, the annotation, and the type bound to the attribute. So I will use this function here later on. So that's all for the presentation of annotated from the PEP and how to consume them. I will now introduce some use cases in order to illustrate why you would want to use annotated, or why not, maybe. I'll use this simple model, which is a calendar event model. It uses PyIdentic as a base model. So again, PyIdentic is a famous library for doing data modeling and validation or serialization. It's similar in scope to data class. And here we have an event model with a few fields, a summary, description, and two dates defining the duration of the event. In the following, we'll do three things. The first one, we'll do validation of the datetime fields. We'll do this using PyIdentic built-in annotation. So we'll see how to use third-party annotations. Then we'll do iCalendar serialization. iCalendar is a simple format for exchanging calendar data, text format, but we'll see how to implement our own annotation in order to perform serialization. And the third one would be console rendering. We'll build some kind of user interface in the console in order to print and display a calendar event. So again, this will illustrate how to define our own annotation. So starting with daytime validation, we use here the built-in annotation from PyDantic. And namely, it's the after validator, which is some kind of annotation factory, because it takes a function, here tzaware, which, as its name suggests, would validate that the daytime value is not naive, meaning it has a time zone defined. So here, you can simply define tzaware type by combining the daytime field with the PyDantic shipped annotation construct and your own validation logic. Here I'm defining an event with a naive time zone, and we can see that PyDantic produced a validation error, which under the hood is triggered by our value error with the expecting a tzaware daytime message. So it works. As a side step, I would like to mention that before using annotated in PyDantic, in older version of PyDantic, the pattern for doing validation was through using class methods and decorators, namely the field validator decorator, in which you have to define custom method in your model classes, and you have to bind the attributes you want to validate to the method using the field validator decorator. So that's another way to define validation in PyDantic, not using the annotation. And why, in my opinion, the annotated pattern was adopted in PyDantic is for the following reason, I would say. Because the validation method, the class method, is loosely bound to the attributes. You can see that there is no direct relationship between the start at and end at field definition and the validation, whereas in the previous example with the annotation, you have inline combination of type and annotations. Then if you have different classes using the same validation, because validating non-naive datetime is quite usual, you would have to repeat the method in all your model classes, and similar for all for other use cases like serialization. So that's why I think the annotated patterns has taken adoption in this kind of library. Here we simply introduce an alias, tzDateTime, which is the annotated datetime with our validator, in order to make or code less verbose. So that's one idea of annotated. Despite being verbose, you can use aliases, and you can define your base model class just reusing the aliases. Next,